Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. After some congregational singing, you will hear a worship service and Bible teaching. Our speaker is Richard Waltz, who is an elder and the pastor of the church.
Ken is going to be preaching this morning from Psalm 19, and as the topic is giving God all the glory. This first hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Please stand, we're going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time to gather together to sing your praises, to exalt the name of the one whose name is above every other name. And we pray that you would help us, that our worship would be acceptable in your sight. We thank you and praise you for your great sacrifice on our behalf, for calling us out of the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light, and for taking us from our condition of death and sin into your eternal righteousness. We pray that you would prepare us for that great day. But in the meantime, we pray that you would help us to be about the work that you've called us to do. And we thank you for the opportunity to see Brother Ken and Sister Kath once again. We pray that you would bless their time of visits with the various churches throughout this country. And as they return home in mid-September, we pray that you would continue to bless the work in Romania and Hungary, that your will would be accomplished, that your name would be glorified. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Brother Ken, it's been over 40 years, I think, since we've first met. Yes. And as some of you know, or as many of you know, they started out in a refugee camp in Rome and smuggled Bibles into Eastern Europe and preached in the various churches. And then after relocating to England, they used to drive across the Channel and go across Europe. And now they tell us that they routinely fly into Budapest, into Hungary, and then one of the pastors takes them into Romania. So times have changed, and yet they keep going on, and we are expected to continue on. And even as the Apostle Paul says, until that race is completed. Yes. So, Brother Ken, if you'll come and minister the word to us. We'll make sure the mic is on here. Is that on, Tom?
Of course I'll have a good day, because this is the Lord's day, and I'm here to give praise to God. Oh, well, listen, and then I took them into different thoughts, and wow, it was right through to our brother and sister call for us. That I had opportunity, how the Lord opens the door. Well, it's a joy to be back. And 69 years in the Lord's service. Of course, married, how long?
69.
Oh, thank you. 69 years, but in the Lord's service. And one thing I know, and you know too, that to live the Christian life, living the Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground. And we have known that hardships, difficulties, obstacles, and even the devil behind us screaming and saying, oh, give up, give up. But we press on. It's a battlefield. And we rejoice that we can overcome by lifting high the banner of the cross. Praise God. Well, let's turn to this wonderful psalm, Psalm 19, and have a look at it together. I will read from the Old King James Version, not the NIV. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handy work. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also from honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Who can understand the errors. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, what a wonderful psalm. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word, and we pray that you will prepare our hearts to receive the word, and may the word enter every crevice of our being, that we may know what it is to live our lives, not just Sunday, but to live our lives in worship every day. And the glory we want to give to thee, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I say again, what a wonderful psalm. The Westminster Shorter Catechism starts with a question and gives an answer. And the question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that sums up what we should do every day. Give, as we have it, God the glory. The Apostle Paul admonished the church at Corinth with the same blessing as that. And we know how that the church, as we see from the first chapter in 1 Corinthians, had been invaded by earthly wisdom. And the result was disaster, where through entertaining worldly things, there were many sins that entered in and caused division in the church. And if you look at the last two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you will discover that Paul concludes by telling them what you are doing is wrong. It will only bring about division and confusion. Listen, of God is given to us wisdom, that is wisdom from above, and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, glorification. And how does the last verse go? In other words, therefore, if it's of God, then we must give God the glory for everything. And that is Paul is saying, and it's the same for us as we go on in our Christian life. We must give God every day the glory. To God be the glory. We couldn't have had a better hymn than the first one, than telling us that to God be the glory. We want to uplift his name with exalted praise to God. Now, coming closer to the psalm, you will notice that it does divide up into three parts. We have in verses 1 through to 6 the revelation of God in creation. And then 7, verse 7 through to verse 12, we have the revelation of God in Scripture. And then in verse 12 through 14, we have the revelation of God in experience. So we're looking at the Creator and the Revealer and the Redeemer. There's so much there for us. Now, in the first verse of that portion 1 through 6 on the revelation of God in creation, you will notice that the heavens declare the glory of God, and it is in the plural, heavens, because I understand that in the Hebrew, the endings are always different, and they convey the thought of more of being in pairs, more than one. And so the heavens, referring to outer space, and the earth from earth's atmosphere, but both going together, is the heavens, it's the skies, and what we see from on earth. There's not just as if one heaven, it is the aerial heavens, the heavens, the sky, the creation of God that has been spoken of here. And you will notice too that the heavens declare the glory of God. And in a moment we'll see how they declare the glory of God. But you will notice in that verse, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I believe in the NIV, I think it has the word skies, but the word firmament is far better than just the skies, because the word there is firmament, meaning it is firm. What God, the divine designer, has done. It's fixed. It's complete. It's unmovable. It's firm. I think it was Spurgeon who said, it's all hammered into place. That's God's creation. And he goes on to, in that verse, tell us that it's his handiwork. God is the designer of his great handiwork. And in the following verses, he's telling us how creation proclaims God, the glory of God. You can't separate. God is glory. Glory is God. And when you look at creation, you look at God. And there we see how in the verses that follow, how creation proclaims God. Verse 2, continually, day unto day, uttereth speech, night unto night, showeth knowledge. So it is something that is continually, day after day, night after night, God displays his handiwork. And then you will notice in verse 3 that the creation proclaims God and his glory with a silent voice. It speaks, and it is there to draw attention to people on earth to look up and see what God has done. Oh, how sad it is that people forget to look up and say, look at what this great God has placed to put there in the sky, the stars, the moon. It's all so wonderful. And there the silent voice is but a reminder of the handy work of God. But then another way that is creation is proclaiming God is in verse 4, and in verse 4 universally. If that is continually the silent voice that speaks but silent, and then universally the line is gone out, meaning the line, there's no measuring line. It's universal. Their line is gone out through all the earth. And their words, no, that's far enough. No, notice, and their line is, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Seems to be the center part of God's creation. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. I like to think of it like this. We're looking here at God's creation, and we see God's traveling preachers, the stars, the moon, with all that's displayed. These are celestial missionaries giving out from creation the handiwork of God. Oh, dear ones, what more can we do than stand back, wonder, believe, and worship? We must daily remember and look up and give God the glory every day for the wonder and marvel of his creation. I trust we are doing that. In the second part of the revelation of God in Scripture, in verse 7 through to verse 11. What a wonderful what a wonderful truth is here before us. It's so, it was penned, the psalm penned by David, I believe, but there is evidence of that from the Acts of the Apostles, but we will not turn to it. But the law of the Lord is perfect. Isn't that wonderful? To read something like, the word of God is complete. I love that. It is no flaw, no defect, infallible, inerrant, the inspired scriptures. It is perfect. And you will notice converting the soul. And that means reviving. That's the thought there. It revives the soul, and only the Word of God can do that. It's the Word of God that can awaken us spiritually and revive us, because the Word of God is perfect. There's no need to have any doubt. God's word, the Holy Scriptures, we must lay hold of it. It must be part of us, because it revives the soul. And then you will notice the word of God, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, that word there the simple. It's not referring to any mental unbalanced person, backward. But the word simple there means to those who lack discernment and know not that the way they go, and so easily, if you haven't got discernment, you will fall into the traps of the trap of the devil, or into the quicksands. But when you know the word, and the word is within you, you have discernment. Like the psalmist of Psalm 1, when he said the godly man there, he knows the way that he takes, so that his eyes are open, and he walketh not in the paths of the ungodly. But when the word opens our hearts and our minds, we have discernment, and we know what is right and what is wrong, and we know the way we should go. That is so wonderful when the word directs us. And you will notice in verse 8, and here we read the statutes of the Lord are right and the statutes of the rejoicing the heart, rejoicing the heart. So what we are saying here, that the ordinances of the Lord are right, meaning the word puts us on the right path. It's the word of God that directs us onto the right path. And when you're on the right path, what comes? Joy, rejoicing of the heart. We've all experienced that. We know that. When you're on the right path, we want to say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. We're not on the broad road. We're on the narrow road, because the word of God has shown to us the right way. We God the glory for that. We're on the right way. And these statutes of the Lord are right. Let's say reliable. That's a good way of summing it up. They're reliable. You can trust that God's word is a straight road. He put us on a straight road that leads Eula Land. And then you will notice, and this is, most of this is, David is applying so much to himself, and we are looking here at the delight of the word of God. When you meditate upon the word, we have these wonderful truths to hold on to. And so the statutes of the Lord are right, and they cause rejoicing of our hearts, as we well know. And then we have the commandment of the Lord is pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure. That, again, is something we could say radiant. I like that word, radiant. The commandments, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, you will have the enlightening of the eyes. What more do we want? When we obey the word of God, when we take the commands of God and obey them daily, our eyes are enlightened. Enlightening of the eyes. And then, what we're looking at here is the six attributes of God. And so, coming to this another attribute, you will notice the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And then the judgments, there's nothing unclean. As we see from that statement here, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, and the fear of the Lord, that's clean. Nothing unclean. It's clean. It's pure. And then finally, the judgments of the Lord are true. The ordinances of God laid down in Scripture from Genesis right through, all that God has ordained is true, but the world around us has cast them to one side, and we live in the dreadful world that is around us as a system that I refer to. Because as we read in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, Isaiah 59:14, and there you will discover the word that truth has been lost in the street. I think that's the way it puts it. And isn't that true? Truth has been cast to one side. It's just, I know better. I'll do it my own way. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. But God's word is the word of truth. And it's only when you have God's word that you can go forward with truth, where the world has cast truth to one side. When we look at the hear about the gay society and what all what goes on in this earthly system, how dreadful. Truth has been put aside, but we know the word of God is true. Praise His name. Now, in the closing section of the psalm, we have the revelation of God in experience. Now, there's great value in keeping, verse 10. I forgot to mention that. The word is of great value. That's what it's telling us in the 10, verse 10 and 11. It speaks of gold, and it speaks of sweeter than honey, and it brings a warning, and it brings a reward. These are the things that I see in that verse. Look at more to verse 10. More to be desired. That is the word of God. More to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Oh, if you love the word, you are rich spiritually. The word makes you a plutocrat, a very rich person spiritually. And it's great value, oh, I say to all of you, to myself, there is great value in the Word of God. It's better than even fine gold. And he goes on to say, yea, sweeter than the honey, dripping from the honeycomb. The word of God is sweeter. I know you have been, you know that, when you meditate on the word. Oh, what a sweetness there is. And if we obey the word of God, then it's better than gold. It's sweeter than honey. What a wonderful, wonderful truth we have within our hearts in obeying the word of God. And there's a warning. You notice verse 11. Moreover, notice, by them. That's the attribute of God. By them. What we've just looked at. By them is thy servant warned. There's a warning. If you disobey the word of God, if you reject the word of God, be careful. There's a warning. But it brings also a reward. If you obey the word of God, there is a great reward. That, to me, is something very wonderful, because when you think of a reward, you're inclined to think of something in the future. Well, that's true. It is. There's a reward. We'll hear one day. Thou, how is it? Great, yes, and faithful servant. Well done, thou great and faithful servant. There's a reward. But never forget, the reward is here and now, not only in the future. And what a reward for here and now. Long life. Could we want anything better? Protection. Gladness. Assurance of salvation. We could make a whole list. Answers to prayer. Consciousness of the Lord's presence with us every day. Isn't that a wonderful reward? Hallelujah. Present day reward for keeping the Word of God. Well, I praise God that I am a possessor by the grace of God of the Word of God. A possessor. Are you a possessor of the Word of God? Does it find a lodging place in your heart that you look up and you give God all the glory? A future reward, but a present reward daily. He takes care of us. In that last section, 12 through 14, we have the revelation of God in experience. And here, David, referring to himself, and he's saying, who can understand his errors, sins of ignorance? He says, cleanse thou me. See, he's referring to himself here. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That is, sins there, error and faults. Sins that keep us back from obeying the Word of God. But notice, cleanse me from secret faults. And I'm sure there that David is thinking of the day when he took the sheep. He thought he could cover it all up. He thought it was in secret, and so many think that they can get away with it. It's all in secret. Nobody sees. And Uriah, he had put to death. But no one will see. I'll cover it all up. There's no such thing. In the book of Hebrews, it's brought out so wonderful. There's nothing. Everything is open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We cannot cover up anything. Always remember, God sees everything. Nothing can be hid from him. There are other verses in Proverbs, many verses. Don't cover up. God sees. And he goes on and he says, keep me back. He's saying, keep me back from thy servant. Keep back, that is David, thy servant. You see how he's applying it to his own heart, from presumptuous sins. that is committing sin and knowing you're doing wrong, let them not have dominion over me. And if they don't have dominion over me, then what does he say? I shall be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And so he wanted to be upright and innocent before the God of his redemption. So he's saying, keep back these things from me. Don't allow me to go into them. And we need to remember that and make that our prayer. Keep us back, Lord, from these things that would seek to, with the devil's activity behind us, seek to cause us to stumble. Keep back these things, Lord, from us. And then he goes on, and it's so wonderful. This is David's heart plea. David wants a heart assurance as much as he wanted before in those verses a quickened conscience, so that he would not slip away from God. We need that. We need it. I need it. A quickened conscience to be aware of not falling back. And a heart assurance to be sure that were safe and sound. Listen to me. This is his heart assurance. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That's what David wanted, that the words of his mouth, the meditation of his heart, be acceptable in thy sight. I trust that is what we want. The words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart is acceptable before the God whom we serve. But to stop there wouldn't be enough, because it goes on. Let me read it again. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That is very important, because he goes on to say, and notice what he says comes out of the word Lord. My strength, my redeemer, my rock, and my savior. And there it comes out from, O Lord, the strength, the rock, the redeemer, the savior, it's all bound up, wrapped up, I say, reverently in the Lord. He gives the strength. He is the Redeemer. And David wants just that. What a wonderful psalm we have set before us here. Is he your Redeemer? Are you on the rock? If you are, it's only by the grace of God. And I have that feeling that most, if not all, here were on the rock by God's grace. And oh, to be on the rock, we're on a firm foundation. The revelation of God in creation, the revelation of God in Scripture, the revelation of God in experience. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts, remembering that there are future rewards and present rewards. And may we all find great delight in the meditation of his word. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
What a feast. So many phrases from Brother Ken's message this morning do equate to the many of the hymns that we sing. And as it is often his practice in the churches in Romania and Hungary, oftentimes he will speak a phrase and one of the translators then will convert it into Romanian or Hungarian. And we Americans, though we've kind of botched the King's English at times, we still understand. We don't need a translator, but we do need a translator because we still need the interpreting power of the Holy Spirit to understand and apply the Word. And thus, may the Spirit apply this great Word of God to our hearts this morning. And may we apply it. May we not be just hearers, but may we be doers. And as Brother Ken travels to the places in the world, the Lord himself said that the fields are white unto harvest. And that's the case in our country as well. Whether it be our neighborhoods, whether it be our workplaces, whether it be wherever we may be, there are many who have not heard. There are many who previously perhaps have resisted. And yet we know that the Word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword. It works in our lives as we proclaim it, but it works in the hearers' lives as well. Far and near, the fields are teeming.
Thank you for listening to this message share recording from the pulpit of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. You are invited to join us in the assembly at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, off John Brady Drive at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. every Lord's Day. For further information, call 570-435-2276 or email sgbc@localchurchpa.com. Check out our website at www.localchurchpa.com.